In the name of Jesus, the crucified, amen. So I was recently teaching a theology class as a professor to those going into church work in our church body, and I give them an assignment which is based on our gospel reading today. And this assignment always seems to produce a little bit of anxiety in my students. Anxiety isn't always bad when it comes to getting a right answer. And the question is, who is Jesus and why does he matter? And what I'm not looking for is that Jesus is another great moral teacher or that Jesus is some kind of guru leading us to better strategies or even that Jesus is found in the Bible. But I'm getting at what's found in our reading today. It's a central question of the Gospel of Mark, and it's a good question for disciples, which also means students, all of us. We never outgrow giving an answer to this question, getting it right, because when we get this right, our heart is in the right place. The disciple Peter answers Jesus when Jesus asks him point blank directly, "Who do you say that I am, that you are the Christ?" Or the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, the promised one. And in Jesus, God the Father chooses us, right? That we would answer correctly about him. Peter answers Jesus' question, who am I correctly? Jesus is that one and only chosen by God. And then Jesus tells him, which is kind of strange for a teacher, to tell no one. At first, this sounds strange. But see, Jesus, in a good teaching moment, needs to make sure his disciples get it before they start to tell others. And as we go through our reading, it's clear that they need a little more time in the classroom with Jesus. Jesus needs a little more time in our hearts before we're ready to give an account to others. Jesus begins to teach them what this Son of Man or Jesus, or this Messiah, or this chosen one actually is chosen to do, that he's going to suffer many things and be rejected and be killed and 3 days rise again. And he says this plainly. I love the detail. There's no parables. There's no stories. There's no analogies. Just straightforward Jesus. And Peter takes him aside in a straightforward way and tells his teacher, doesn't even wait for the teaching evaluation, says that he's wrong. Students challenge their teachers today, it happens. But to take your teacher aside when he's teaching, that actually hasn't happened to me. What made Peter go against Jesus, his teacher? This dramatic moment. Well, everything Peter's been taught, everything Peter's learned in his schooling. In the Old Testament, Messiah means the anointed one. It means the chosen one, prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is that, but it's a little different as far as his role. And by Jesus' day, the popular view of the Messiah was that Messiah was the tough guy, the one to make Rome listen, the one who will restore political power, the one who will make teachings known to everyone. This was the one who would make it happen. This is what Peter learned. This is what Peter hoped for. Peter put everything on this. Why follow if Jesus wasn't going to do this? Peter and the disciples got the idea, right? Be the greatest, you have to be feared. Jesus has to reteach what being a disciple means. And we have to unlearn a way of might makes right, or unlearn a way of persuasion that gets you to do the right thing as if I'm using you, and unlearn an eye for an eye to clearly see Jesus on the cross as the chosen one, and to see a new way, a way of sacrifice and a way of love. Or Romans 12 puts it, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be renewed in our mind that pattern of Christ and sacrifice. And that's why Jesus rebukes Peter. He actually wants to renew his mind, as all great teachers do, I think, right? Get behind me, Satan. He wants to transform that mind and capture that heart. You're not setting your things on the mind of God, but on lower, baser things. It's a way of a fallen world. It's a way that one has to be tough and not a pushover, and yet everyone gets walked over sooner or later. Jesus knows what this world's about. He walks that road. The things of God are that God so loved the world, a world in a mess, a world with the wrong expectations, that he sends Jesus. And the things of God mean following Jesus. We follow Jesus by denying ourselves, saying no to sinful desires, and sacrifice. It starts with following Jesus to the cross, taking up our crosses, Jesus puts it in our reading, right after this, right, to move it to Peter and to his cross. In other words, it makes a difference, not only what we learn in a classroom or in a setting like this, but what we do with our lives out of church, out of the classroom, out from the gathering of Jesus here in a sometimes hostile world. There's already enough hate out there. Jesus is preparing us for that. But our prayer is, Lord, give me strength to take up the cross. Give me strength to love. Give me strength to love the Jesus way. That's the way of taking up the cross. It's a way of selfless serving, that we don't see our immediate needs, but the needs of others. And Lord, we pray that you would give us this way. Our second reading beautifully puts this in a little more theological form, I guess, a reflection on what Jesus has taught in the classroom there with Peter, so that we would remember it and keep it in our moments when we need it. How beautifully Jesus has reconciled us, reconciliation. How beautifully Jesus has saved us, justified, standing in his grace. How the Holy Spirit has been poured in our hearts, peace with God through that death and sacrifice of Jesus. We've obtained this access by faith, the grace in which we stand, rejoicing in the glory of God. And more than that, to actually find joy in our afflictions, joy in our sufferings, because there is something we need to learn about life, that God can make the darkest moments full of hope. And to unlearn a way of operating of might makes right with love, we'll find a way in Jesus. The sufferings of Christ produce this endurance. As Scripture puts it, this endurance enhances faith. It sends us out. It gives us strength. It makes character. Character of love and sacrifice. A character which produces hope that we shall overcome in Jesus, that sorrows will be turned to joy. There's a resurrection. That's when the disciples will begin to tell about this. They know what Jesus has been through. And they know that when they go through it, Jesus is with them. And we know that when we pass over from this life to death, Jesus is with us. And we have that hope. And we live it. And we have character and conviction. Who am I? That's what Jesus wants to know in our gospel reading today. Who am I? That's what I still ask students. It's a good question for us as disciples. The wrong answers is to make Jesus fit our expectations or our hopes, when sometimes Jesus wants us to look at the toughness of life and the struggles of life as opportunities to serve him. Lord, give us strength for the challenges and the crosses you give us. Lord, give us strength to love and find contentment in all aspects of life. Lord, give us strength to accept that you are our Savior and that you are with us always. Give us strength to receive your love. This is who you are. It's an invitation to receive Jesus, that if anyone would come after me, to deny himself and look to who Jesus is, our Savior, our guide, our brother, who lays down his life for us. Amen.